Hey friend, what is driving your life? What is giving you that motivation and that energy and that focus? Do you feel like you have a purpose in your life right now? Well, I've been reading The Purpose-Driven Life, and it has really, like, I'm reading chapter 3 today. I literally just started, but this book was, like, this chapter, I just felt like I needed to share with you. Because it just says everything that when I walk into a client's house, that is the first time I'm meeting them, and they're letting me into their most embarrassing spaces and letting me see the things that they are ashamed of and the things that they are hiding. And it's very humbling. But the clear thing that is evident in that when I walk in is that they're distracted. They are overwhelmed and they're trying to do things that just aren't right for them a lot of times. And when I was reading this, it just gave me so much, it just made it so clear and it just kind of summed it all up so beautifully. So I'm going to read it to you. This is, again, from The Purpose-Driven Life, and this is chapter 3. What on earth am I here for? I know so many moms. I know so many moms, especially stay-at-home moms. Some days we just live in that repetitive day after day, doing the same thing over and over again, repeating everything day after day after day. And it just seems like we don't know what we're... It seems like we lose our drive. We lose our purpose. And so when I'm reading this, I want you to really think about yourself and your life and where you are and where you're feeling stuck and where you feel like you've just kind of gotten distracted or lost your focus or your purpose. And for moms, our seasons change. You know, when we have a newborn, our main purpose is not the housework. It's not our jobs. It's not our families. It is literally keeping that baby alive. And that is the actual purpose of our life in that season. But it's a short season. They're only newborns for a very short time. What, 6 weeks that they're newborn? 2 months? And then they're babies, and they're babies for a year, and then they're toddlers, and it just, these seasons are ever changing. And even in these short seasons, there's change constantly in these short seasons. With a newborn, when you first bring them home from the hospital, they're not sleeping through the night at all. You know, they're waking up every hour and a half to 2 hours, and you literally feel like you have no brain. You can't think through the simplest of functions. And it just truly is survival in that season. But then we move into the baby stage and we soak up every moment because they're changing so quickly and we can't believe how fast the newborn season went. And then next thing you know, they're all in school and it just is crazy. And then you get through your day and you're trying to get all the things done while they're at school before they get home. And next, you got nothing done. So what is your purpose? Let's refocus. And this is a quote by Thomas Carlyle. The man without a purpose is like a ship without a rudder, a waif, a nothing, a no man. That's written in the book here. And it absolutely feels like that. When we feel like we aren't living our life with purpose, it makes us seem like we are nothing. It makes us feel invisible. But that's a lie from the devil, and it is a distraction from your purpose. God created you from the beginning of time with a purpose. All right, let's get into reading it because it kind of sums up all of this, and it's so beautifully written. All right. Everyone's life is driven by something. Most dictionaries define the verb drive as to guide, to control, or to direct. Whether you are driving a car, a nail, or a golf ball, you are guiding, controlling, and directing it at that moment. What is the driving force of your life? Right now, you may be driven by a problem, a pressure, or a deadline. You may be driven by a painful memory, a haunting fear, or an unconscious belief. There are hundreds of circumstances, values, and emotions that can drive your life. Here are five of the most common ones. Many people are driven by guilt. They spend their entire lives running from regrets and hiding their shame. Guilt-driven people are manipulated by memories. They allow their past to control their future. They often unconsciously punish themselves by sabotaging their own success. When Cain sinned, his guilt disconnected him from God's presence. And God said, "You will be a restless wanderer on the earth." That describes most people today, wandering through life without a purpose. We are products of our past, but we don't have to be prisoners of it. God's purpose is not limited to your past. He turned a murderer named Moses into a leader and a coward named Gideon into a courageous hero. He can do amazing things with the rest of your life too. God specializes in giving people a fresh start. The Bible says, "What happiness for those whose guilt has been forgiven. What a relief for those who have confessed their sins and God has cleared their record." Many people are driven by resentment and anger. They hold on to hurts and never get over them. Instead of releasing their pain through forgiveness, they rehearse it over and over in their minds. Some resentment-driven people clam up and internalize their anger, while others blow up and explode it onto others. Both responses are unhealthy and unhelpful. Resentment always hurts you more than it does the person you resent, while your offender has probably forgotten the offense and gone on with their life. You continue to stew in your pain, perpetuating the past. Listen, those who have hurt you in the past cannot continue to hurt you now unless you hold on to the pain through resentment. Your past is past. Nothing will change it. You are only hurting yourself with your bitterness. For your own sake, learn from it and then let it go. The Bible says, to worry yourself to death with resentment would be a foolish, senseless thing to do. Many people are driven by fear. Their fears may be a result of a traumatic experience, unrealistic expectations, growing up in a high-control home, or even genetic predisposition. Regardless of the cause, fear-driven people often miss great opportunities because they're afraid to venture out. Instead, they play it safe, avoiding risks and trying to maintain the status quo. Fear is a self-imposed prison that will keep you from becoming what God intends for you to be. You must move against it with the weapons of faith and love. The Bible says, "Well-formed love banishes fear, since fear is crippling. A fearful life, fear of death, fear of judgment, is one not yet fully formed in love." Many people are driven by materialism. Their desire to acquire becomes the whole goal of their lives. This drive to always want more is based on the misconception that having more will make me more happy, more important, more secure. But all three ideas are untrue. Possessions only provide temporary happiness, because things do not change. We eventually become bored with them, and then we want newer, bigger, better versions. It's also a myth that if I get more, I will become more important. Self-worth and net worth are not the same. Your value is not determined by your valuables, and God says the most valuable things in life are not things. The most common myth about money is that having more will make me more secure. It won't. Wealth can be lost instantly through a variety of uncontrollable factors. Real security can only be found in that which we which can never be taken from you, your relationship with God. Many people are driven by the need for approval. They allow the expectations of parents or spouses or children or teachers or friends to control their lives. Many adults are still trying to earn the approval of unpleasable parents. Others are driven by peer pressure, always worried by what others might think. Unfortunately, those who follow the crowd usually get lost in it. I don't know all the keys to success, but one key to failure is to try to please everyone. Being controlled by the opinions of others is a guaranteed way to miss God's purpose for your life. Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters." There are other forces that can drive your life, but all lead to the same dead end: unused potential, unnecessary stress, and an unfulfilled life. This 40-day journey in the book will show you how to live a purpose-driven life, a life guided, controlled, and directed by God's purposes. Nothing matters more than knowing God's purposes for your life, and nothing can compensate for not knowing them. Not success, wealth, fame, or pleasure. Without a purpose, life is motion without meaning, activity without direction, and events without reason. Without a purpose, life is trivial, petty, and pointless. The benefits of living a purpose-driven life. There are 5 great benefits of living a purpose-driven life. Knowing your purpose gives meaning to your life. We were made to have meaning. This is why people try dubious methods like astrology or psychics to discover it. When life has meaning, you can bear almost anything. Without it, nothing is bearable. A young man in his 20s wrote, "I feel like a failure because I'm struggling to become something, and I don't even know what it is. All I know how to do is to get by. Someday, if I discover my purpose, I'll feel I'm beginning to live. Without God, life has no purpose, and without purpose, life has no meaning. Without meaning, life has no significance or hope." In the Bible, many different people expressed this hopelessness. Isaiah complained, "I have labored to no purpose. I have spent my strength in vain and for nothing." Job said, "My life drags by day after hopeless day, and I give up. I'm tired of living. Leave me alone. My life makes no sense." The greatest tragedy is not death, but life without purpose. Oof, that hit me hard. Life without purpose, the greatest tragedy. Hope is essential to your life as air and water. You need hope to cope. Dr. Bernie Siegel found he could predict which of his cancer patients would go into remission by asking, "Do you want to live to be 100? With those with a deep sense of life, purpose answered yes and were the ones most likely to survive. Hope comes from having purpose. If you have felt hopeless, hold on. Wonderful changes are going to happen in your life as you begin to live it on purpose. God says, "I know what I am planning for you. I have good plans for you, not plans to hurt you. I will give you a hope and a good future." You may feel like you are facing an impossible situation, but the Bible says God is available to do far more than we would ever dare to ask or even dream of, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes. Knowing your purpose simplifies your life. It defines what you do and what you don't do. Your purpose becomes the standard you use to evaluate which activities are essential. This is the section that made me feel like I absolutely had to put this in this podcast for you. Okay. Knowing your purpose simplifies your life. It defines what you do and what you don't do. Your purpose becomes the standard you use to evaluate which activities are essential and which aren't. You simply ask, "Does this activity help me fulfill one of God's purposes for my life?" Without a clear purpose, you have no foundation on which you base decisions, allocate your time, and use your resources. You will tend to make choices based on circumstances, pressures, and your mood at the moment. People who don't know their purpose try to do too much, and that causes stress, fatigue, and conflict. It is impossible to do everything people want you to do. You have just enough time to do God's will. If you can't get it all done, it means you're trying to do more than God intended for you to do, or possibly that you're watching too much screen time. It says television, but let's face it, it's our phones. We're scrolling. Purpose-driven living leads to a simpler lifestyle and a saner schedule. The Bible says a pretentious, showy life is an empty life. A plain and simple life is a full life. How much more fulfilled, let me just ask you, how much more fulfilled are you when you spend a day sitting around talking to people that you love instead of going out and doing all the things? Like if you get together with people that really light you up and really fill you up and all you do is, I don't know, when you go over, I mean, honestly, when I go to someone's house and I help them declutter and we are having conversations and we're just talking, that is so much more fulfilling to my life than going out and doing anything, spending money, going on a big vacation, like any of those things. My life doesn't feel as fulfilled and meaningful doing those other things as it does when I'm sitting with people that I enjoy having conversations, helping people, doing things that really enrich the lives of me and others. Buying new things does not enrich anybody's life, honestly. I mean, it feels like it sometimes and it can for a short time. But anyways, let's get back to the book. The Bible says a pretentious and showy life is an empty life. A plain and simple life is a full life. So it leads to peace of mind. You, Lord, give perfect peace to those who keep their purpose firm and put their trust in you. Knowing your purpose focuses your life. It concentrates your effort and energy on what's important. You become effective by being selective. Also, and again, another thing I work with in decluttering. It's human nature to get distracted by minor issues. We play trivial pursuit with our lives. Henry David Thoreau observed that people live lives of quiet desperation, but today a better description is aimless distraction. Many people are like gyroscopes, spinning around at a frantic pace but never going anywhere. It totally feels like that as a stay-at-home mom some days, right? Without a clear purpose, you will keep changing directions, jobs, relationships, churches, or other externals, hoping each change will settle the confusion or fill the emptiness in your heart. You think, maybe this time it will be different, but it doesn't solve your real problem, a lack of focus and purpose. The Bible says, don't live carelessly, unthinkingly. Make sure you understand what the Master wants. The power of focusing can be seen in light. Diffused light has little power or impact, but you can concentrate its energy by focusing it. With a magnifying glass, the rays of the sun can be so focused they set grass or paper on fire. When light is focused even more as a laser beam, it can cut through steel. There is nothing quite as potent as a focused life, one lived on purpose. The men and women who have made the greatest difference in history were the most focused. For instance, the Apostle Paul almost single-handedly spread Christianity throughout the Roman Empire. His secret was a focused life. He said, I'm focusing all my energies on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. If you want your life to have impact, focus it. Stop dabbling. Stop trying to do it all. In fact, do less. Prune away even good activities and do only that which matters most. Never confuse activity with productivity. You can be busy without purpose. But what's the point? Paul said, let's keep focused on that goal. Those of us who want everything God has for us. Knowing your purpose motivates your life. Purpose always produces passion. Nothing energizes like a clear purpose. On the other hand, passion dissipates when you lack a purpose. Just getting out of bed becomes a major chore. It is usually meaningless work, not overwork, that wears us out. I'm going to read that again. It is usually meaningless work, not overwork, that wears us down, saps our strength, and robs our joy. Have you ever had an office job where you literally just sat in a chair looking at a computer screen all day, and you go home and you are just completely exhausted, like drained, dead? I had a season where I had an office job and I literally was so bored that I came home and I felt like I had nothing left to give. Like, I was so exhausted. It sapped every bit of my strength and I was getting depressed. It is not for me. Sit down office jobs kill me. They're not for me. All right. Knowing your purpose prepares you for eternity. Many people spend their lives trying to create a lasting legacy on earth. They want to be remembered when they're gone, yet what ultimately matters most will not be what others say about your life, but what God says. What people fail to realize is that all achievements are eventually surpassed. Records are broken, reputations fade, and tributes are forgotten. In college, James Dobson's goal was to become the school's tennis champion. He felt proud when his trophy was prominently placed in the school's trophy cabinet. Years later, someone mailed him that trophy. They had found it in a trash can when the school was remodeled. Jim said, "Given enough time, all your trophies will be trashed by someone else." Living to create an earthly legacy is a short-sighted goal. A wiser use of time is to build an eternal legacy. You weren't put on earth to be remembered. You were put here to prepare for eternity. One day, you will stand before God and He will do an audit of your life, one final exam before you enter eternity. The Bible says, "Remember, each of us will stand personally before the judgment seat of God." Yes, each of you will have to give a personal account to God. Fortunately, God wants us to pass this test, so He has given us the questions in advance. From the Bible, we can surmise that God will ask us two crucial questions. These are really good. These really, like, gave me a shake up a little bit, brought some tears to my eyes, and a reality check. So listen in. First, "What did you do with my son, Jesus Christ?" God won't ask about your religious background or doctrinal views. The only thing that will matter is, did you accept what Jesus did for you, and did you learn to love and trust Him? Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." The second question is, "What did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with your life, all the gifts, talents, opportunities, energy, relationships, and resources God gave you? Did you spend them on yourself, or did you use them for the purposes God made you for?" Not made for you, not the purposes God made for you, but the purposes God made you for. Remember, Jesus came to serve, and we're supposed to be doing that too. We're supposed to be serving and living our life to serve God. He is our master. The whole reason that we are doing any of the things, the only reasons we're able to do anything. Remember when Jesus was being, when he was arrested, and he told the leaders that the only reason they have any power is because God allowed them to have that power. It's the same for you. The only reason you have any of the things you have is because God allowed it for you. Preparing you for these two questions is the goal of this book. The first question will determine where you spend eternity, and the second question will determine what you do in eternity. By the end of this book, you will be ready to answer both questions. Question to consider: what would my family and friends say is the driving force of my life? And what do I want it to be? The verse to remember You, Lord, give perfect peace to those who keep their purpose firm and put their trust in you. And the point to ponder, living on purpose is the path to peace. So that was day three of the purpose-driven life. And like I said, I'm on day three in this book, but I just had to share it with you because it is so powerful and it just really opened my eyes to it. When I talk to people about why they're holding on to what they have, why they're holding on to the clutter in their home, or why they are having trouble feeling, why they're feeling stuck or useless in their life right now because they're in a season of caring for little ones, you have to take a step back. Look at the bigger picture. What is the purpose of your life right now? What is the purpose of this season? Sometimes the season is just to survive. Sometimes we are just in a survival season. Like I said, with a newborn, or honestly, when we're raising toddlers, those first couple of years of life, our job as their mother is to keep them alive because they are idiots when they start walking. They will jump off of a building if they can get up there. They jump into the pool without any flotation devices or anyone near them. They run out in front of cars. Like, they put all kinds of things in their mouth. They poke their fingers in electrical sockets. Like, our job as their parents is to keep them alive during that season. And just keeping up with the chaos of the day in that season may be your purpose right now. But other seasons of our lives, we have a little bit more time. And when we don't use that time wisely, at the end of the day, at the end of the week, we look back and we're like, what did we even do? Because we weren't living on purpose. We weren't living with purpose. And when we're living that way, we are not living our lives the way we're supposed to. That's why it feels so meh, so yucky, so blah, so depressing, so boring. It's not what we're supposed to be doing. So if you're feeling that way and you're in that season, you need to do a heart check. Pull your Bible out, read some scriptures, get the book, The Purpose-Driven Life. It's amazing. And I'm only on day three. Like, I'm loving it. So it really is sometimes our perspective that just needs to change. We just need to have some sort of focus. In my home, when I was at home with lots of little ones, I often felt like the days just blurred by and like I didn't have any focus. And I would spend time numbing out, looking at my phone and scrolling instead of doing anything that would be useful or helpful or beneficial or enjoyable, honestly. Because that's boring. Scrolling your phone is boring. It's distracting. It's a distraction. It's not something that fuels you or fills your life or gives anything of value to your life. So what are the things that do give value to your life? What are the things that you were created to do? I am really encouraging you to take a look at that right now and check yourself. Ask yourself those hard questions and really think on it. Don't get too into it. Like, maybe write it out. I keep a notebook beside my bed with a pen, just a cute little spiral notebook with a pen tucked in the little coils, because sometimes at night, especially when I have little ones and I haven't had time to be untouched and think, when I'm laying there in bed, that's when all those thoughts will just flood my mind. And so I need to be able to write them down. And if I pick up my phone, I get distracted and I do other things with it. But if I have a pen and paper, I can just write it out, write it as a prayer, write it as a journal, just as notes, just to-do list, whatever it is, or just observations of my day. And sometimes it's a whole blur of everything and it just blends in, but it gets it out of my mind and it helps me to stay focused and really be aware of what I needed to do. And it often, when I just kind of fill it out on that sheet of paper, I can sleep better. I can wake up the next day with a lot more, focus and intention with what I need to do with my day and my life. So I encourage you to get a notebook and keep it by your bed. To take notes in and to just write out whatever you need to. I love a spiral notebook because the pen fits right in there, but there's other options as well. I don't like them too big, just a little bigger than a book, but not a full size page. But I want to encourage you to really take note of what it is that that's making you feel the way that you're feeling. If it's unpleasant or busy or overwhelmed or like you can never get enough done. That part where it said that if you're feeling like you can't get everything done, you only have enough time to get done God's purpose for your life. Okay. So that was really relieving to me in some ways and refreshing, and in other ways, convicting and just gave me some pause to think about what am I spending my time on that I don't need to? What can I give up? What can I let go of that is someone else's expectation for me that doesn't have anything to do with God's purpose for my life? That's a good one. All right. I am here for you. If you need some help figuring out or just flushing out those thoughts, book an SOS call. I'm right there, thesosmom.com. You can book that there and I'm here for you. You can message me hello@thesosmom.com. I will be here waiting to help you and praying for you. And I hope that this was an inspiring message. I'll talk to you soon.
Hey friend, thanks for listening to this episode of the SOS Mom Show. I hope that you have been inspired and feel less overwhelmed and able to take on your projects at home after listening to this show. If you want more of the behind the scenes and to connect with me, you can find me in the Facebook group at the SOS Mom Show. That's in Facebook groups, or email me at hello@thesosmom.com. I will be there waiting to answer your questions and to help you simplify, organize, and style your home and your life. I am praying for you. I hope you have a blessed day. I'll talk to you real soon. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode. Did I say it right?